Focus, focus. This year is in memory of Leah Bas Yaakov, Le'ilui Nishmat Leah Bas Yaakov. We're going to be learning in her memory. Now, there's a lot of text over here. Don't let it scare you. I'm not sure how far we're going to get, but what we're really going to investigate, I'm going to have to start in Parashat Vayigash. I know that this Shabbos is Vayechi, and at some point we're going to get to Vayechi. But the Vayigash is the necessary introduction to Vayechi. And especially there's one thing that I want to investigate. When the famine is over, why doesn't everybody go back home to Eretz Yisrael? What are they doing in the Zion? Not a simple question to deal with. There can be Rashi, can be Ramban, there'll be a Malbin, can be all sorts of things. But first, let's begin with the introduction as I see it in Parashat Vayigash. And I have to say, sometimes you come across a really nice Torah article. So one of the things that I occasionally look at is Makor Rishon. You know the newspaper Makor Rishon?
Yeah.
They have a Shabbat section. It usually has exceptional articles of all sorts. And here there was one, and now I'm going to, looking back at all of the previous issues, this is on Parshat HaShavuot from Harav Ze'ev Weitman. And Ze'ev Weitman is the Rav of Tenuva. The Rav of Tenuva. He's done an amazing job with Tenuva. Really fine Talmud Chacham. And here, he makes a number of comments that I'm going to incorporate into the shiur. We can begin with number one. Number one is Yosef speaking to his brothers after he reveals himself. In Parashat Vayigash, V'yata, now, Lo atem sholachtem oti hena, you're not the ones who sent me here. Ki hu elokim, God sent me here. He made me a father to Paro, Uladon l'chol beito, a master over all of his house. Moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, I'm a ruler over the whole land of Egypt. Maharu v'alu el avi, hurry and go up to my father. You should tell him, Ko Omar b'chol Yosef, so says your son Yosef. Zomani elokim l'adon l'chol Mitzrayim, God has made me a master of all of Egypt. Redo Eli, come down to me, Al Tamo. Don't delay, do it now. V'yashavta b'eretz Goshen, you're going to live in the land of Goshen, v'yita karov Eli, you're going to be close to me. Ata you, b'incho b'nei b'necho, your sons and your sons' sons. V'tzoncho b'korcho, your sheep and your cattle, v'chol ha'shalot. You're going to be near me, not far. In the land of Goshen. V'chilkalti otcha sham, and I'm going to provide for you there. Ki od chamesh shanim rov, there's another 5 years left for the famine. Pen tivoresh atol beitcha v'chol ha'shalach. You have to be with me and I'll take care of you, lest you become impoverished. You're going to remain in Canaan with a terrible, terrible famine. You will not be able to survive. Come here, I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to take care of you. Your eyes see the Achi Binyamin, and the eyes of my brother Binyamin. You see, it's me. Ki pi hamidaber alechem. It's my mouth that speaks to you. Interestingly enough, Rashi says that Yosef is telling them, I speak Lashon HaKodesh. I'm talking Hebrew. I have to control myself when I learn all of these children because I have so much to say on so many of them that it's but the Kipi on the David Alechem and the Lashon HaKodesh means more than just plain Hebrew.
Holy.
It means you say holy things. Yosef is the one who says, no, it is God who sent me here. God has me here in order to provide for you. Yosef speaks a holy tongue and he says holy things with that holy tongue. The Gavati love me and tell my father at Kol Kvodim in Mitzrayim, tell him all of the great honor that I have in Egypt, that Kol Asher Ye'item, everything that you've seen, Umihartem Hari, Vahoraditem et Avi Enon, and bring my father down here. Vayipol Tzavari Binyamin Achim, and he fell on the neck of his brother Binyamin, and he cried, and Binyamin cried on him. He kissed all of his brothers, and he cried. It was quite a dramatic, powerful scene. And the way it's described in the Torah, you know, one pasuk, sometimes you can meet the pasuk. Here, this pasuk is really what describes the power of that great reunion of Yosef with his brothers. It's only after all of this that his brothers were able to begin to converse with him. Until that time, they had been stunned. They were in a state of absolute shock. But Yosef has calmed them down. He's made them calm. Don't worry. He certainly has left the impression that he does not seek revenge under any circumstances. Okay? V'akol nishma beit Paro. The news was heard in the house of Paro. Yosef's family has come. Le'mor. Bo achei Yosef. The brothers of Yosef have come. V'yitar be'eni Paro be'eni avodu. It was good in the eyes of Paro and in the eyes of his servants. Vayomer Paro el Yosef. Paro said to Yosef, now watch, this is the first thing that we're going to look at carefully. We're going to see that Yaakov receives two invitations to come down to Egypt. We've just learned his son Yosef's invitation. Now there's going to be a second invitation that comes from Paro himself. And if we look at it carefully, we're going to see that there's quite a difference between Yosef's invitation and Paro's invitation. And that's going to make a difference in the long run. Let's hear what Paro has to say. Vayomer Paro Yosef, Paro said to Yosef, El Amor El Achecha, say to your brothers, Zotasu, do this. Ta'anu et b'yechem, put all as much as you can onto your cattle, your animals, l'chu bo'u arts of Canaan, and go and come to the land of Canaan. I'm going to start pointing out what's fascinating here. Yosef talks about going up to Canaan. Maharu Hari Va'alu El Avi, go up to my father. And Yosef also said, bring him Uridu Eli and come down to me. You'll never hear that terminology from the mouth of Paro. By the mouth of Paro, it's always go, come here, come there. he doesn't deal in the categories of up and down, going down and up, and it's significant. Lechu, go bohu, come to the land of Canaan. Uku et avichem, take your father, that but take your homes and everything you have in it. Uvohu elai, and come to me. Both ways, coming to Canaan, coming back to Mitzrayim. Ve'etnolachem, and I'm going to give you a tov eretz Mitzrayim, the best of the land of Egypt. Ve'ichlu et chalev ha'arev ha'aretz, and eat from the fat of the land. Now you see here, Yosef had told them, you'll be in the land of Goshen, near me. Cairo already is expanding it to include all of Egypt. Is it possible that he may not want this family to have a private ghetto of their own? Does he want to disperse them throughout all of Egypt? I think so. Vatok Subeta, you've been commanded, Zotasu, to this. Kulachem Be'eretz Mitzrayim, take from the land of Egypt, Agalot, wagons, L'tapchem, L'nisheichem, for your children, for your wives, L'nisotem at Avichem, and carry your father, U'batem, third time, come. Not down, not up, come. Ve'neichem al tachos al chlechem, ki tuv kol eretz Mitzrayim lochem. Don't worry about anything that you may have to leave behind over there. Just come, because all of Egypt is open to you. Completely different kind of an invitation. But there's something even more serious, a serious difference between the two invitations. The invitation of Yosef to his family, to his father and the rest of the family, has a time limit on it. Yosef had said, there's another 5 years left to the famine. Which leaves, of course, the impression, famine is over, you're going to pick yourself up, you're going back home. No. Paro's invitation is a completely different sort. Not only open-ended, there's no limit. You're coming here, you can be here forever. Is it possible that at some point they will reach, this we're going to have to investigate this, they may reach a point at which you won't have the option to leave Mitzrayim? Is it possible that they'll be going to, there will be a moment at which they're free throughout all of Egypt? Egypt is the great Gan Eden. Can't pick yourself up and leave. Can't. We're going to have to see that. And it's obvious that at some point, that has to happen at some point. Otherwise, we're left with a serious question. Why didn't they go back home? Even though there's another answer that's going to come up soon. We'll see. Why didn't they go home? Famine is over. Shoyach, you took us in for these few years. Here we are, the family that Mitzrayim took in, and now, okay, we're gone. Doesn't happen. But meanwhile, what we have are the two invitations, and they're different. They are completely different. In Yosef's invitation, there's a time limit on it. I mean, obviously you can stay as long as you want, but he understands if he would be his brothers and his father, he would stay there as long as there's famine is over, they go back home. And of course for them it's obviously best to be located in one place, just in the land of Goshen. No, Paro has completely different ideas. I don't know, maybe it will be possible that Paro wants to make sure that Yosef never leaves. He doesn't want Yosef to leave under any circumstances. Yosef is the great goose who has laid all of these golden eggs. Yosef is much, much too important. Reuven, I see an item recently about some communities in Spain that are offering all sorts of things to Jews who will come back, you understand? Took them 500 years of miserable Rishoyim to realize that they destroyed themselves by expelling the Jews in 1492. Now all of a sudden, you know what it means? Paro had more brains in his pinky finger than Ferdinand and Isabel. He knows what he has and he wants to hold on to it. We're going to see in this week's Sefer Vayechi, not a simple business even for Yosef to leave Mitzrayim temporarily to bury his father. Not that simple at all. He may be the master of Egypt, the patron to Paro, but Paro is over him. And there are restrictions on them. What was it? For how many years? Communist Russia? You can't leave. This is Gan Eden. They believed that Soviet Russia, Communist Russia, was Gan Eden. You have to be a meshuggah to want to leave Gan Eden. Mitzrayim is that kind of a Russian Gan Eden. Not simple anymore. Now, number two, Vayasu came to Eretz Yisrael. Children of Israel did so. They came back. There were a whole bunch of stuff in the middle. They came back home, and they did so. But he told them, Yosef Argolos, Yosef gave them the wagons on Piparo. But he didn't say the Loderek, and he gave them food for the road. Luchulam Rapam Leish Chalifot Smalot. To each one of them he gave changes of clothing. To Binyamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of clothing. La'odiv shorach kazot, and he sent to his father asorach hamod and 10 donkeys laden with the best of Egypt and 10 she donkeys full of grain and bread and food for his father la'doreh for the trip. Vayisharach etechav, he sent his brothers vayel Vaye Lehu, and they went. Vayomer Aleihem, and he told them, Al Tirgazu Ba Derech, don't fight on the way, you know, watch, keep the sense of unity and friendship in the family. Vayalu Mitzrayim, Vayavoer, it's Kanan of Yaakov Avim. Vayalu, you see, they are in the up and down mode. They came up to the land of Egypt, and they came to the land of Canaan to their father Yaakov. By Agidul Olemor, they told him, Od Yosef Chai. Yosef lives. V'chihu Moshe El Becholeretz Mitzchayim, and he rules over the whole land of Egypt by Yofeg Lipo. I translate here, but his heart rejected it. Ki Lohe Emin Lahem. He didn't believe them. Now, I'll just throw in something that we said years ago. What do you mean he didn't believe them? What does he expect that any minute they're going to tell him, people fool, we were just kidding, yes, he's dead in a toenail. What does he think is going on here? His 11 sons are telling him, oh, Yosef Chai. He doesn't believe them. You'll see right away. You'll see right away. And it says, Vayaris Argolos Asher Sholach Yosef, he saw the wagons that Yosef had sent for Sefoto to carry him, but the Chi Ruach Yaakov Avihem, and the spirit of their father Yaakov came to life. What happened? Well, so we know the Rashi. The Rashi says that the Argolos the word Eglon, which means that Yosef was reminding him the last halacha that we learned was the halacha of Eglon Arufa. Means much more. This I heard many years ago from my brother Shmuel Yoshua Gold Olav Shalom from Petah Tikva. He said, you know what Yosef, what message Yosef is sending him? That he remembers the parsha of Eglah Arufa. What's the essence of that parsha?
It's
somewhere, anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, a man is found dead on the road. It becomes the responsibility of the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim themselves to send people from Yerushalayim where this person is found dead, measure off to the closest city. Closest city has to bring a sacrifice and they have to say, God forgive us, our hands did not spill this blood. Do you know what the halacha of Eglah Arufa is? The halacha of Eglah Arufa says that those who are in the position of leadership carry responsibility for every life. You know what Yosef is telling him? You must be wondering, how does one achieve the position that I achieved? Usually, you have to kill a few hundred thousand people as you struggle to get to the top. We're not talking about a democracy. It's the old Muslim Brotherhood over there in Egypt. It wasn't a democracy. You didn't get elected. You're a killer. You rose to the top. Yosef is sending a message to his father. Not the Laban. They didn't hurt a fly. I remembered what we learned. The responsibility that a leader has for every life in that country. Oh, v'atachi ruach Yaakov avihem. Yaakov comes to life. When his brothers told, when the sons told him, oh, Yosef, hi, Yosef is alive, he believed that Yosef is alive. You know what he was concerned about? That this Yosef is a monster. Yeah, no, so I have grace and knuckles I have, that I have a Yosef in Mitzrayim who clawed his way to the top on piles of bodies. But then when he sees the Agolos, the reminder of Eglah Arufa, he comes to life. Look at the next passage. Vayomer Yisroel Rav, O Yosef, B'ni Chai. It's Yosef, my son, who's alive. He believed them when they said, O Yosef Chai, but he didn't believe that his son, Yosef, is alive. But when he sees this, Old Yosef B'ni Chai. And there's something else that's important over here. Yaakov is referred to here as Yisrael. Now, we're going to be moving. We'll see that the term Yisrael denotes one thing, and the name Yaakov denotes something completely different. Over here, okay, is this the first time, yes, we had Vayomi Yisrael, Yisrael. Now watch. Something's going to take place. There's going to be a switch down. The decision is made. They're going. Vayomi Yisrael, Vayomi Yisrael. Yisrael and everything that he has, they're journeying. They're on the way to Mitzrayim, and in fact, Yaakov had said, he said, Eilech ve'ed eno, earlier, he had said, I'm going to go see him, b'tedem amud, before I die, I'm going to go see Yosef. The purpose and the point and the objective of his going to Mitzrayim is to see Yosef. There's absolutely no intention whatsoever to remain in the land, to settle in the land, to take out the Egyptian citizenship. They, that's the furthest thing from Yaakov Avinu's mind.
The wife of
Paul Asherlum.
Why did he pick up and take all of his possessions?
Because there's no food. There's no food in Canaan. And I'll show you later Ramban who says, why couldn't Yosef have provided for the whole family by sending food from Mitzrayim to Canaan? What do you have to schlep the whole family down here? Send them food care packages, you understand? The man already begins to let us into what's going on behind the scenes. So one thing the Ramban says, Yosef was afraid of doing that because he was afraid that Paro would think that he's sending provisions to Canaan. He's selling it there. And he's opening up an offshore bank account, and he's robbing Paro blind, and he's really preparing himself a nest egg so that one of these days he's going to pick himself up, leave Mitzrayim, and go live for the rest of his life on the spoils of Egypt. Yosef is not a fool. Yosef is a brilliant man. He knows who he is dealing with. Ramban also says, Paro would never have let him do anything of the sort. That would be out of the question. It would be out of the question. They're not sending food out of the country. Nothing goes out of the country. But another point of Ramban says, you know, the impression could be left that they are depleting the resources of Mitzrayim and sending it off out there. There are millions of poor in America, and America is sending grain all over the world. What are you talking about? No. You see, there's a lot going on beneath the surface. But you know what you have to look for? You have to look for the code words that tell us what's happening. Watch. Anyway, Yisrael is the one who's journeying. He came to Beersheba. He brought sacrifices to the God of his father Yitzhak. God said to Yisrael in a vision at night. I wonder, he understands that something is changing dramatically here. Like Yomi, he says, Yaakov. He calls him
Yaakov.
God calls him Yaakov. Like Yomi, he said, the classic response, Hineni. Okay? That's what Yitzchak said to Avram. Vayomer Anochi Okel, Okeyavicha, I am the God of your father, Al Tiron be the Dom Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. Was there any indication up until this point that Yaakov is afraid of going down to Egypt?
He was afraid of
the
Israelites by Egyptologists.
Well, the Rebbeinu knows that he's afraid. The Rebbeinu knows that he's afraid. And you know what he's afraid of? He's afraid that he's going to be swallowed up in Egypt, never to emerge from there. He's terrified of what's going to happen to his family in the same. Don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. The Rebbeinu uses the right word, you know, redor. Don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. Because I'm going to make you a great people there. Oh, everything is beginning to change now. The fears of Yaakov that his children may disappear, overwhelmed by the time, are beginning to dissipate because the great God, I'm going to make you a great nation there. Onochi eireid imcha Mitzrayimah, v'onochi aalcho gam olam. What a beautiful sentence. I'm going to go down with you to Egypt, and I'm going to go up with you from Egypt. The Yosef Yoshis Yodo Alinecha, and Yosef is going to place his hand upon your eyes. That means he's going to be taken. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to look after anybody. He's going to be looking. He's going to be your eyes. He's going to be looking after everything. Here already Yaakov is receiving a message, and this may be one of the ways to look at the reason why they don't go back home. I'm taking you up, God says. You can't go. You can't leave Egypt unless there's going to be a message, a direct message from God. Anochi Elcha Golo. There are those who wanted to say that this applies to every exile. You have the right to leave exile without some kind of a sign from heaven. Otherwise, you just stay in Poland, right? So, fascinatingly enough, most of it at the beginning of the 20th century, the early 1900s, before the Balfour Declaration, that the Avnei Nezer, the father of the Shem Yishmur, the Socher Chavarev, wrote amazing halachic treatises, and one of them he said that, you know, because already you could feel in the air there were Nili, there were the Biluim, there were those who were beginning the colonias in Eretz Yisrael, there was Baron Rothschild, there was Baron Hirsch, they were, that these things were going on in Eretz Yisrael that hadn't happened in 1900 years. So the Avnei Nezer said that if there's a pekidah, if there's an indication that God has remembered us and he wants us to go to Eretz Yisrael, then we're permitted to go. And the pekidah that he was talking about, he says, he couldn't even have imagined it, but he says, if the nations of the world will give us permission to go, he wrote this before the Balfour Declaration, before the League of Nations voted on it. That would be called, if nations of the world say, you know, Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people, then you can go. And then it happened. There was a pekidah already. And that pekidah, therefore, God's remembering them. And we're going to see Yosef at the end of Ayati says, Kokod Yitkod Hashem Elohim Etchem. He tells his brothers before he dies, God is going to remember you. There's going to be a pekidah. And Yalav Yofi Agir Yidah, you will be remembered by God. There will be a pekidah. And when that pekidah is going to come, you're going to take my bones up with you. Don't leave me here. By the way, you have to remember also, this in Parashat Vayechi, well, we're going to say as much as we can. Remember, at the beginning of Parashat Vayechi, it is Yaakov who says to Yosef, "Al not tigbereni b'mitzrayim, don't bury me in Egypt, take me out of here." At the end of the Seder, when Yosef is about to die, he doesn't command his brothers or his children, "Al not tigbereni b'mitzrayim, take me up now." The most that he's able to say is that someday when God is going to remember you, then you'll take me out. Why? Because the situation has deteriorated. The great Joseph is still the great Joseph. The idea of him or his children leaving Eretz Mitzrayim even temporarily is out of the question. He knows that Paro will not let his children out. He knew only that he was given permission temporarily to leave, and we'll see that it was temporary. In Vayikhi, it says that when they went up to bury Yaakov after he passes away, their children and their cattle and everything that belonged to them remained in the land of Goshen. That was the guarantee, the condition. And when Yaakov, when they go up to Egypt in order to bury Yaakov, Ziknei Mitzrayim are accompanying him. And I think it's not only Ziknei Mitzrayim, not only the elders of Egypt were accompanying Yosef, they are most probably Egyptian legions that are going with him. Yosef becomes a prisoner in paradise. He becomes the prisoner. No. Kato is not letting them go. Wait a minute. What happens? If that beginning of Shmos, where Kato says, these Jews are expanding all over Egypt. What did I do? They're all over Egypt. So he says, we have to deal wisely with them, lest they grow strong, and they're going to go up from the land. You know what I'm saying, the Pesach right now?
What is another one,
and
what is the second one?
You know, that's machloket, Rav and Shmuel. Is it the same paro or is it a different paro? But you know what strikes me right now? I don't have an answer. I have to think about it. That paro says, let us deal wisely with them, lest they become strong for along in ha'aretz, and they will go up from the land. Is that the kind of terminology that's pharaonic? No, I gotta think about it, you know. I don't have any answers. Okay. Let's go further. Now look what happens over here. Who leaves Chevron and arrives in Beersheba? Who? Yisrael.
Not Yaakov.
After the dream, and now he has to begin the last lap of the journey from Beersheba. He has to continue on to Mitzrayim by Yochum Yaakov li Beersheba. It's so precise. The first part of the journey was Yisrael. All of a sudden, it's not Yisrael who's journeying anymore. Yaakov. Yaakov represents the name of the Jewish people in exile. Yaakov, why is Yaakov the name of Jews in exile? Because Yaakov really means to act cleverly, with cunning. And in exile, Jews, in order to survive, have to be cunning. Yisrael represents Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Yashar Kel, straight with God. No necessity for any kind of subterfuge. Straight. We can say what we want to say, and we should express it clearly. You know, every week now, the next few weeks, I'm going to have to control myself for making any kind of political comments, you understand? We're in the middle of a campaign. If Naftali Bennett says that maybe there are times that one should refuse orders, he's absolutely right. I was one of the 9 rabbis, together with Rabbi Avraham Shapiro, who passed in that Israeli soldiers should refuse orders rather than throw 10,000 of their brothers and sisters out of Gush Katif. That's right. We came under such. How did we come under such fire? Take a look what's happening now. Yeah. So the BBC came to my house to interview me. The BBC. So, you took this position. I said, I certainly did take this position. Well, you know, you can destroy the Israeli army. So I said, I don't understand. We're the generation after the Holocaust. our Jewish soldiers going to be the ones who'll say, we must listen to orders? 6 million Jews died because people listened to orders. There's no such thing as conscientious objection. We came here to this country so that Jews should throw fellow Jews out of their homes? That they built with permission of the government? Absolutely not. The BBC doesn't like me. By the way,
did they air it?
That's a big, I have no idea. Their failure is to have to find out if the BBC, I said a worse thing to the BBC. This was a phone call from the Latin. BBC interviewed me at the time of when Oslo II was signed. That was really the implementation of Oslo. And I get a call to the BBC from London. We want to know what's your opinion of this document that has been signed. So I told them, in less than 10 years, it's going to be on the garbage heap of history. And I'll give you a classic example. In 1939, His Majesty's government issued a white paper saying that after 5 years, no Jews will be permitted into the Palestine again. And less than 10 years later, it was a worthless piece of paper because millions of Jews started coming to this country. I don't think they aired that. But I never checked. I never checked. But you see, there it is. I went off on a tangent. I shouldn't have done it. I don't regret it. Okay. Yaakov goes, by Yochum Yaakov, you may share our Yisrael with a Yisrael. This is very interesting, you know. There's something very interesting about it. It doesn't say Vayisru Bono, it's Vayisru Bnei Yisrael. In other words, it's both. Even the Yaakov in Golis has a spirit of Yisrael in them. And that spirit keeps them going. Bnei Yisrael are the ones who carry him. Because really, the truth is, up until now, they've been constantly referred to as Achei Yosef, the brothers of Yosef. And they took as Kapong, as Nishayim, Ba'agolos, Asheshovach Haru, Lasedot, you know, if I have time to say another 2 hours shir, I would tell you the significance and the importance of the fact that both Paro before and here now, what does it say? In both places, it says their children and their wives. Their children and their wives. Someday I'm going to show you my proof from Torah that's the wrong order. It has to be Nishaychem v'Kavchem, your wives and your children. But that's a shir for another hour. Okay, that's enough. In the wagons are they're taking them in the agolos that was sent by Paro. You know what agolos sent by Paro means? That's the second invitation, the Paro invitation, which is open-ended. They know what's going to be facing them. Vayavo Mitzrayma. Here, of course, you see it's already, this is a Paro invitation experience. What did Paro use throughout? Come to Canaan, come to Mitzrayim. Vayavo'u Mitzrayim, but they came to Mitzrayim. Yaakov, the whole Zaharito. It's the beginning of the Golos experience. Bonav, Ubnei Bonavito, the Notav, the Nod Bonav, the whole Zaharo, Hei Vi, Ito Mitzrayim. Doesn't say anymore, Yoridu, Imo, Ohorid, Imo. We're moving in from a Yosef mode Yosef's invitation is part of the past. God has now said that the invitation that you are going to be responding to is the invitation of Paro. And that invitation already means that there may be a long, long call ahead of you. It's not a Yisrael experience anymore, it's a Yaakov experience. Number four. This is in Parashat Bishalach. Of all things, you know, you find out things in Bishalach that you didn't know here. In Bishalach it says, Vayikach, they're on their way out. Vayikach Moshe, that smoke Yosef, you know, Yaakov took Yosef's bones with him. He hashbeah, hashbeah, b'nei Yisrael lemar, because Yosef had administered an oath to b'nei Yisrael saying, Pakod Yifkod Alekim Etchem, Va'aliteret Atzmotayim Yisei Etchem. God is going to remember you, and you should bring up my bones. This is really the oath that he administers to his children at the end of Parashat Vayechi. Now here is where Rashi comments. Take a look at the card. Hashveah Hishbiah. He made the children of Israel swear. Hishbiyam Shiyashbiyam Vineyam. The two oaths are, he administered an oath to the Bnei Yisrael of his day that they should pass the oath on and administer that oath to each generation, so that the generation that goes out of Mitzrayim should know that it's their responsibility to take it. Joseph made his brothers swear that they... Why does the English translation say his brothers swear? Does it say brothers in the passage?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah? No. He has Yah, he's beyond the name of Israel anymore. No, wait a minute. Something just struck me over here. Yeah, it's wonderful when you can find a mistake in an article.
No.
But the fellow who wrote the Perush and Rashi is a wonderful, wonderful, great, great person. Yes. At the end of Vayechi, it's his brothers, and then Bnei Yisrael. Okay, they're all right. Okay, crisis is over. Translation is correct. Swear that they would make their children swear to take his remains with them when they would leave Egypt. Listen to Rashi's question. He doesn't say it in Vayechi, but he says it in Bishar. Why didn't he make his children swear to take him immediately for a burial in the land of Canaan? Exactly like Yaakov did to Yosef at the beginning of the Sefer. Why did Joseph not make his son swear to carry him to the land of Amir upon his mind? Moshe is via Yaakov, as Yaakov made his son swear. Oh my Yosef. Yosef said, Ani shalit hayiti b'mitzayim. I was a ruler over Egypt. V'yosefek b'yadi la'asot. And I had the wherewithal to carry out the terms of the oath that I would bury my father. And by the way, if we ever get to it, we'll see, even for him, it was not that simple. Maybe we'll get to it. So now, I had the ability to do it. My sons, the Egyptians, will not then let them carry out the terms of a comparable oath. Look, Rashi doesn't even have to explain why. It's understood. The Egyptians are not letting Jews leave. This is the great Garden of Eden. You're free here, nowhere else. I will bonai lo yanichem Mitzrayim lasa. Lachach, that's why he's biyom litishigoru v'yetsu mishon sheyisu. That's why he made them swear that when they are redeemed and they go out, they will carry him Then Rashi says, "V'halidim at atzmot time." He said, "Come take my bones with yours." From here we learn that the bones of all of the remains of all of the brothers, all of them were brought here, and you know they're buried all over Eretz Yisrael there. Where is Yosef buried? Kever Yosef, I'm saying. Big Bizarian. Kever Yosef. But then I don't, someplace, I don't know, where is it? There's a Kever Binyamin, someplace out near Kfar Saba, someplace around there. There must be other problems. All right, so let's turn over. If we get over to the other side, then we're doing good. And here, really, what I want to do is just the Malbim. The text is Vayavru. You made the Chitov. It's we're already in Pasuk Vayechi. See, I wanted to get to Vayechi. We're in Pasuk Vayechi. Yosef, Yaakov has died, and they've gone through the whole process of preparing the body and the days of the. Completed by Yitabi Yosef on base Paro. Yosef spoke to the house of Paro saying, watch, he's making the plea. He wants to go bury his tata. If I have found favor in your eyes, Dabruna, twice please. This is very, very, I would say that this is a little bit embarrassing. The great leader of Mitzrayim. I'm not going to tell them whose song this was. I heard it and it sounded very familiar. She can also forget. Last week in another shir, it happened to me. My own bashlug in the phone went off. I started yelling at the guy, why are you calling me in the middle of the shir? Listen to how Yosef is speaking to Paro. And you know what? Yosef doesn't even go to Paro directly. He speaks to the house of Paro. He needs to use protection. He speaks to the house of Paro and he says, "In no matzos yichem beinechem, if I found faith in your eyes, Dabna, please speak to the ear of Paro." The big Yosef, the master of Egypt, the patron of Paro. Plain protection he needs. And what does he say? Ovihish Biyami Lemor, my father has made me swear, saying, he now knows he made. I'm going to die, the Kibriyash Kharitimi Ben Sinan, that grave that I had purchased and dug for myself in the land of Canaan, Shomotik Benemi, there he should bury me. Va'ato now, Elenoch, Shamna Machapa for the third time. For the third time, please. Please, I will go up I will listen carefully to the words. Maybe you never noticed it. I'll bury my father. I'm coming back. Yosef is a prisoner in Egypt. Vayamar Paro alei ukorech avicha kasher hishbiyecha. Go up, bury your father as he had made the oath. I just want to go quickly through the Malbim, which is immediately, believe me, I'll find a place where to get these Rambans in. The idea of some of the Rambans I already told you. Avihish Biyani, my father made me swear. Natan Dalit Tan, and Yosef gives four reasons, and said, this is very thought out. He's making this great request. My father, Edoth Amdal Tam, he gave four reasons. One, Aleph, Mitzav, Mitzos Kibudav. See, he's going according to the words. What's the first?
I love learning with you because I see things more clearly. In other words, Yosef could have said, Biyani Avi. And he said, Avi is Biyani. So you know what he means to say? The first thing is, keep it up. That's how the Malvin knows it. The first thing is, keep it up. Avi. First of all, it's Avi. And the second thing is, he's Biyani. Mitzvah HaShvuah, Beis. There's an oath. Valzeh Amra Avi. Hishviyani. I just don't understand it so much better. Just tell me. You put me on the blessed track. Gimel. Shaya mitzvah. Haya mitzvah machmat mit. Mita umitzvah lekayim divrei ha'emes. There's a halacha that says it's a mitzvah to honor the last wish. Honor the last wish. So it's not only that it's my father, and it's not only that I took an oath, but this is something that he said before he died, Anochi made, and it's a mitzvah to fulfill the final words of a person. That's why it says Hine Anochi made. And number four is Shegam Hu Hoyalo Tam Azeh. That Yaakov's request was a request that made sense, and he had reason because he had dug that grave in his lifetime. He dug it in his lifetime. He dug that grave so that he should always remember the day of death. Remembering the day of death is a means of looking at life with a far healthier attitude than let's eat and drink and be merry for tomorrow we die. Maybe today. Come over. Sifer alam kadmon shahu b'chayeyem b'tayem etzol kivdeyem l'skor yomotam. There was an ancient people that used to have their homes were near their graves. They had graves prepared so that they should remember. After this grave was dug in his lifetime, whole lifetime he looked for this. This idea of keeping death forever before his eyes was something that bears eloquent testimony to the piety of Yaakov. And that's why it says the grave that I dug for myself. Varato now. We gotta finish. Bal yachshedu paro shiyishay sham. Paro shouldn't suspect him. Chas v'shulam that he's gonna pull a fast one and he's going to remain there. So it says that, therefore he said, Ata Ella, I'm going to go up. And further, we'll watch. Now I'm going to go up. Did I ever go up in my father's lifetime? I never left the time in my father's lifetime. I only go up for one purpose. The Kirak Ella Ligborat Avi, Vashiva. I'll bury him and come back. What you see clearly from this pasuk is, if Yosef, who was the great savior of Egypt, is really no longer a free man to do as he chooses, there was absolutely no way that his children could ever have left Egypt. They're going to have to wait for the moment of Kapur Yifkod Hashem L'Kim Etchem, when God is going to remember them. And thank God that we had that in our generation as well. We had more than one Pekida. We had many messages that God sent to us that He wants us to be here, and Baruch Hashem, we recite them. Okay, that's it.
Thank you, Rabbi.
How are you?
I saw you.
Quick question. Can I?
Okay.